I was thinking it's important to keep the balance that you've been bringing to us, that of Obadiah's unfaithfulness in one sense to live up clearly to his conviction. But on the other hand, we need to look at God's divine sovereignty and purpose in it all, because we can't afford to miss the two lines of teaching here. Obadiah is a man who, yes, compromises his position. He's not clear in his testimony. And that's an example of us today in many, many different ways. Whether it is at school, at work, wherever we are, we can find ourselves at times in compromising positions if we have not made clear our testimony for Christ. As you said, we're kind of waffling. We want to live, put one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity, and hope that we'll probably be able to make it. Well, we cannot live both sides to the middle. And that was what Obadiah was in that sense. But on the other hand, Obadiah was used of God in a very miraculous way in light of remnant testimony. When everyone around had fallen apart, there was a man in Ahab's household whom God could use to hide 100 prophets and feed them with bread and water. So there is the matter of sovereignty and divine choice and remnant testimony that is always there in the midst of declension, that God always has someone, something for himself when everything else around is falling apart. And yet it puts an obligation upon Obadiah to have been faithful to his testimony, and he was not.
Well, I read the question is being raised once. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would be enough evidence to convict you? I'm sure there was no question in anybody's mind, if Elijah was arrested, there is enough evidence to convict him. Outwardly and inwardly, Ahab knew, and everybody knew, all of the nations around knew who Elijah is. A clear cut, no compromise. You see him, you know where he stands. I think it would have been a great surprise to Ahab to find out that Obadiah feared the Lord. Nobody knew that. He was a secret disciple, as we have heard of before, undercovered, or a secret disciple, just like Joseph of Arimathea. But what it takes for one to stand up for the Lord. Sure, Elijah was in the school of God. He took order from the Lord. The Lord said, go hide yourself. He does it. Ahab said to Obadiah, go find water for the donkeys and for the horses. So Elijah takes order from God. Obadiah takes order from Ahab. Elijah is afraid of no man but the Lord, the living God. Obadiah is afraid of Ahab. He said, if I go and tell him and the Spirit of God takes you and hide you away, he's going to kill me. His life was more precious to him than the testimony of God. Now, discipleship is different than Christianity. Let me explain what I mean. Being a Christian, it's a grace of God. Being a disciple, it's costly. It's not for everyone. Well, it ought to be for every Christian, because there is a cost involved. If anyone would follow me, the Lord Jesus said, he gave us a list of what you have to do. You're going to hate those who are close to you. And it's not like you don't like them. He said you hate them. That means they don't come between you and God. That's number one. And you carry your cross. That shameful disposition that will be associated of following rejected Christ. Sure, I agree that the sovereignty of God would use Ahab, would use Obadiah to feed, to hide 100 prophets. And what did he give them? Bread and water. But when God hides you, you know what you get to? You get bread, but you get meat. These guys, poor guys, didn't get any meat. They just got bread and water from Obadiah. We don't have to depend on Obadiah to feed us. If the living God will hide us. He will feed us, and He will take care of God. Yes, we don't want to leave the sovereignty of God, because God uses many people in a very high position, in a political place, for His glory. They are all used by His hand. But that's God's work. That's God's sovereignty. I have nothing to do with that. My responsibility is this. I got to have a backbone. I have to stand for what's right before Christ. And it doesn't matter what cost, because there is a cost. But then there will be an ample witness, and there will be a recovery. Nobody was recovered as a result of Obadiah. As a result of Obadiah, people were hiding. But as a result of Elijah, people were recovered. It takes a person who is committed to carry his cross and follow the Lord.
And that's the balance that I thought is important for us to stress.
It is important to see what's the difference between these two men, really. Because the scripture said, nevertheless, with all these things, the sovereignty is that he feared the Lord greatly. So there was a true, genuine fear in this man's heart toward Jehovah. So what's the difference? I would like to suggest, by way of application, that Elijah applied the sentence of death upon himself. Obadiah never applied this. Because the time when Elijah is going to show himself before the king was the third year. As it were, he comes before the king on resurrection ground. You cannot touch this. What are you going to do to me? I'm on a different ground than the ground you are standing. I have applied the sentence of death, and now I come on resurrection ground telling you, no, it's not me that troubleth Israel. It is you, your fathers, and the whole package together. This is the difference. Obadiah never applied the sentence of death upon himself, and he wanted to be in the gain of what the Ahab's palace might provide me with. So may the Lord help us to learn from such a lesson we are going through here.